But we were. Does that do
That was pretty
it?
good.
We
Yeah.
were. I call this meeting open. No, I'm just kidding. I was doing the Robin and Marion music, by the way, not the
Oh, I
tune.
thought you were doing the ancient Chinese music.
To be honest, I've had the DVD menu of Robin and Marion, and it's just been
You
playing
got
the
this on DVD?
yes. It just played
Okay.
the
So you've got some history with the film Robin and Marion,
I have
1976.
seen it before, yes. I'm just gonna check my letterbox to see when I've seen it. I feel like I recommended it to you, Michael.
You did. It was in one of these meetings. I can't remember exactly what we'd watched, but it was a Sean Connery film, and I mentioned that I've always longed to see the missing link Sean Connery, because there's Sean Connery when he's James Bond that looks one way, and then there's Sean Connery when he's a bit older, where he just looks completely different. He's got a beard and he's bald, and I can barely tell it's the same person. And I thought there must be some point in between where he kind of looked like both of them. And you said, you should watch Robin and Marion.
Was that a solution to the problem or just a general piece of advice, though?
I think it was just a specific solution to the problem. You didn't tell me it's a great film, you'll love it. And so I sort of squirreled that away in my memory. And then much later on, as in a couple of weeks ago, happened to look it up or stumble across it or something, found out it has Audrey Hepburn in it. And so suddenly thought, yes, fuck yes, we're doing this, let's watch that. And then started watching it, and it's got Richard Harris as a bombastic dying king. And I thought, how have I never seen this? So 5 minutes into the film, I was loving it, and I was really glad I picked it.
Did that feeling sustain itself?
It did not.
Oh,
This was a pretty shit film in
thank
many
Christ.
respects. What did you think, Claire? Because we didn't talk about
Could you not tell?
it. You didn't seem impressed, but I was sitting on the beanbag, so I couldn't actually see your face.
Oh God, I thought I was going to have to. I thought I was going to have to argue quite a lot in this meeting because I felt cheated by the time I spent watching this. I felt like that was time that was taken from me in my life.
Well, don't put your fighting gloves away yet.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Sorry, I forgot to say it's one of those films.
Yes. And I thought just maybe that this is all, like also a good film that Sean Connery did, of which we haven't come across many in my life. But no, it was one of those films, wasn't it? So not a
No.
lot of love from Claire.
No. I did have a headache and my back was particularly sore, so staying awake to watch it was also quite painful.
Pain in your head, a pain in your back, and a pain in your side. Fernando, and what did you think?
I thought it was a decent film.
What?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, just okay. I mean, I also struggled to watch it in just one go. In fact, I didn't
What?
watch it in one go. I watched it in three goes,
Okay.
I think. But I thought it
You went
was,
back to it. That's amazing.
well, maybe because I was just a little tired and I knew that I wasn't going to be able to watch it in just one go. But I think I liked it.
Wow.
And Laura, dare
Oh.
we ask?
Look, it ticks a lot of boxes for me.
Yeah, okay. You put this in the sort of Highlander category.
I wouldn't quite say it was as special as Highlander.
Yeah.
It was more in the Cromwell category.
Yeah, okay.
Worse than Cromwell, probably,
I can see a
but
lot of Cromwell here. Yeah.
it's a real period piece, isn't it? They committed to the period piece, I think, in a fun way. It felt medieval. It felt like a film in a medieval-ish set.
Yes.
With actors.
Yeah, you're right.
I like that feeling.
Would you describe yourself as easy to please when it comes to films?
No, not particularly. I dislike a lot of films.
But stick it in a medieval period and you're sold.
It's a plus.
You do like a medieval film, don't you?
I do. Do you know what? I didn't like The Name of the Rose.
Okay.
Which was a Sean Connery medieval film. So it's
yeah, that's true. No, I feel like I missold The Name of the Rose to you by being like, "Oh, do you want to watch a big funny a big murder mystery with Sean Connery in it?" And we're like, "Yes, I want to watch that." And then quite a lot of it was this quite grim, brutal
really
stuff
grim.
About the Spanish Inquisition and people getting murdered and stuff.
Just living in dirt.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd like it if I watched it again. I'll give it another go sometime.
It's not light entertainment. Not like this. Not like Robin and Marion.
No, this was light.
Yeah.
Ish. Apart from the should we talk about it? The murder-suicide at the end.
Yeah, which I think was also kind of meant to be light. It was certainly meant to be a touching moment, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Legs are cold.
I know.
And numb.
I said you'd have no pain.
What have you done?
I couldn't stop myself laughing. I was sitting on the beanbag. I just got the giggles. Because it was such an outrageous, ridiculous thing to have happened.
Oh, they really got... I think the writers got swept up and thought, oh, yeah, this is... The audience will be with us here, won't they? But they forgot to justify it, you know? He didn't look like he was dying. He looked like he was just wounded.
Yeah.
Why did she kill him?
So we're jumping straight in, right, with like the biggest question. But I mean, why not? Let's go for it. Well, this to me was the biggest like question mark of sort of what were these characters thinking that she just decided to murder him and kill herself.
Yep.
And this was just after. And I think what she said was, he said like, why have you done this to me? And she just started rattling off this poem about how much she loved him.
I love you more than all you know. I love you more than children. More than fields I've planted with my hands.
With a big grin on her face, and then said something like, it's never going to get any better than this. And I don't know if what she's saying is like, you just killed the Sheriff of Nottingham, which is what you've always wanted to do. You're never going to be able to top this, so you might as well just die.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't quite get that.
He seemed to echo that by being like, you're right, I'll never have another day like this. So let's both just die.
All right. Let me shoot an arrow out the window. I couldn't stop. You know, when you watch a film and you... sort of a few phrases or scenes will stick with you. And every time I've thought about it since watching it, I've just heard him yelling, John, I'm poisoned!
John! I'm poisoned! Help me!
Oh, yeah, me too. That's what I was going to do the impression, but I didn't think of me. He's got a little, like, high squeak. He squeaks out, yeah. Poisoned!
Oh, poor son, because he's dying. But I was watching it and thinking, wait, are we supposed to assume that he is mortally wounded here?
I don't
quite
know
what's going on, but you're not sure. How did you read the scene, Fernando?
Mm-hmm.
I was outraged. I was like, what? You've just decided to kill the person that you supposedly love? Was he mortally wounded? That was... unclear to me. Yeah, it was unclear.
Okay, so maybe he was, but it didn't seem like it was meant to be, like it was meant to be unclear. It seemed like it was just poorly communicated, right?
Oh, was it supposed to be clear that he was mortally wounded?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. it didn't seem like they were sort of presenting it as, ooh, you'll never know, what do you think? It just seemed like, wait, so he's bleeding out of his stomach. Like we were all meant to understand that he was mortally wounded, or we were all meant to understand that he was going to get better. But I never quite got it.
If he was mortally wounded, then what was the need of the poison?
Yeah, well, to ease his passing, I suppose. But that's not what she said. She said something about never topping this moment, and also she drank the poison herself.
But would drinking poison ease your passing?
Well, yeah.
Or like morphine or something. Yeah.
Better than bleeding to death.
Yeah. Well, it would have been morphine, obviously, but...
Or thereabouts. What did you think, Claire?
No idea. Didn't care. Yep.
You sort of checked out by that point.
Yep. I think it's safe to assume in that time, if he's not got a medic around, he's probably going to die with a massive stomach wound.
Yeah.
If not from bleeding out, then from internal bleeding or
infection.
An infection.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think there's something in her saying, you like, it's kind of as the story, it's nice. He's defeated his foe. It's done now. We can wrap this up.
Yeah.
But that's not applicable in any sort of real life. So it doesn't really make sense if you want to believe it's actually happening.
Yeah. So it was sort of a nice narrative conclusion, and they just sort of desperately tried to make the story fit.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't they just have him die naturally? They chose to be like, she's going to fucking murder him and then kill herself to wrap up the story nicely. That's a move.
Well, if she dies as well, then that wraps it up nicely too, that they die together. That's sort of beautiful. Somehow they lived together and died together and they couldn't be apart.
But they did not live together. They were separated for 20 years.
Yeah, but then we had this feeling that they sort of were still pining for each other and they made each other complete again when they met up again.
I suppose it's an act of compassion as well, isn't it? That she presumably thinks is, like, if she's been a nun for all these years, she must think murder is wrong.
Yes.
But she was willing to do that to ease his pain.
Yeah.
And then suicide as well. I think at that point was frowned upon by the church.
Mm.
So it's a final act of compassion, of sort of her admitting that she's who she was rather than this nun that she's kind of half pretending to be.
I see.
I think it was selfish.
You think it was selfish?
I think her motivations were selfish, that she kept saying that she wasn't going to lose him again, that she couldn't live without him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I think she was being malicious, evil.
Okay. Whoa.
Evil.
She's just like a murderer.
Yeah.
How many more has she killed?
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe she killed that woman we saw with at the start.
Well, she had that same wine bottle, didn't she?
Yeah. Oh, and she said, drink this, it will ease your pain.
Mm.
Maybe that's why she was under arrest.
Secret.
Kept killing everyone.
Right, so I will say one thing, which is that I kind of saw the ending coming.
No way.
Yes, because of a bit that I know about Robin Hood in the old Robin Hood poems and stuff.
Mm. I thought you were going to say because it was a film and you were watching the screen.
No, I knew in advance.
Okay.
In the stories, he dies from being poisoned by a prioress.
Oh.
Who is not Maid Marian, but who is a prioress who's, like, been paid off by the Sheriff of Nottingham or something. So he's poisoned and he, like, dies in his bed and he does this thing where he shoots his final arrow out of the window and says, bury me where this arrow falls. So I thought, well, this is a film about the second half of Robin Hood's life, like that towards the end of Robin Hood's life. It's probably going to end with him dying. And then we met her, we met Marian, and she was a prioress or an abbess or whatever. And I thought, oh, is she the prioress in the story? She's the one who's going to kill him for some reason. I thought that was an interesting twist on the medieval poems, I guess.
Hmm.
Just a shame that it was just horribly miscommunicated and done a bit madly. Yeah.
Did you recognise the sheriff?
No, I did, but I can't say what from.
Anyone else?
No. I've just looked him up.
Was it a film we've seen?
Yes. In the film club.
Oh my god. No, I don't know. Can you tell? Can you tell us?
It was Quint.
Oh my god, it was. He was very engaging.
Hmm.
One of the more interesting characters.
Yeah. Oh, no, me. 2 hours and 11. $1,000, you can have the head. Deal. All damn thing.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. Yeah. Oh, what an actor. I'm glad he's got some range. Oh, he sounded very English.
He is English.
Oh, right.
Well, so he sounded very
New England.
According to Wikipedia, he was also in From Russia with Love.
Yes, with so Sean who was Connery. He in that?
Grant.
Because I didn't just watch that, sorry. I watched The Hunt for Red October.
That is a different film.
It's a different film.
Yeah, I've got it written here. Abbess kills Robin?
Nice.
But also, was he going to die anyway? Was my note from the end. Couldn't stop laughing. Shall we say some good stuff about this film?
Oh, please.
Because I thought there was a lot of good stuff to say about it.
Mm.
I thought it was compelling seeing Robin Hood, this great adventurer, as a sort of aging sort of a has-been. And it was quite sort of poignant, him coming back to all these old places and hardly being recognised and everything just being tarnished and awkward and tough. I thought that was a good touch. I liked it.
Yeah. It's a story that I hadn't heard or seen. So is a lot of that represented in the poems?
No. I don't think there's anything about him going on crusade. So I'm trying to remember the exact poems. Obviously, that lots of different authors have twisted the Robin Hood tale around in different ways. But the story I'm used to, it's while Richard the Lionheart is away on the crusade,
yeah,
that he gets up to all of his adventures, and it's when Richard comes back that he sort of reinstates Richard on the throne. But I don't know. No, it's all set in England.
I see. I thought it had some good humour, good lines. These pears are absolutely delicious.
Yes, that was good.
I liked it when they're in the prison at the beginning.
Yeah, standing on the guy's back.
The old guy with the frying pan in the beginning. I knew we were in for a treat when I saw that frying pan.
Which guy with the frying pan?
He's the old man in the castle and he shuffles out and they're all firing arrows at him and he's holding
Yes, that was good. It was very Monty Python and the Holy Grail, wasn't it? I thought it was good. Quite interesting as well, Richard. We didn't get much of him before he died.
John Lackland, they used to call him, but now he gets all of that. Christ, why did I have no children? Never gave a damn about England. Never really there. Not even as a corpse. They're planting me in France! By my father!
But I thought that... firstly, it was funny, but it was also kind of thoughtful, this idea that this king's just gone a bit mad from being on campaign so long and has turned evil. But Robin Hood, because he's such a hero, he can kind of say whatever he wants and get away with it. And he also kind of doesn't care if the king puts him to death. That was interesting. I liked that.
There are no soldiers in there, just some children and the mad old man.
And what is that to me?
And it should mean something.
Is that disapproval, Robin? Am I in the wrong?
I followed you for 20 years. I fought for you in the Crusades. I fought for you here in France. Show me a soldier and I'll fight him now. But I won't slaughter children for a piece of gold that never was.
I ordered it. I command you.
You do it! You're a bloody bastard. You'll enjoy it.
Damn right I'll do it. Now carry air!
Sire! Arrest those two! Lock them up! I'll have their heads on pikes! I want these walls down and I want every damn head in the place!
It was a compelling beginning, as you say.
Yeah. I thought, wow, I can't believe I've never heard of this film. This is great. It must be some hidden gem that I've just never seen somehow. And that there was also some amazing camera work early on. Some great shots. Do you remember the funeral? Yeah. As they're going past a cliff face, this funeral procession.
Yeah, that was stunning.
Big pulled back static shot of this massive cliff face with these tiny people walking in front of it. And it gave such a sense of scale and such a sense of like how somehow meaningless this king's death was. And then Rob and Little John are watching from the distance.
And then they just ride through the funeral procession.
Yeah, they sort of awkwardly shuffle past because there's only one road, and that was good.
Was it?
Yeah, because it was sort of, again, understated, sort of awkward comedy, and sort of dark comedy as well. Yeah, it was good. I also loved the first shot of Nottingham Forest when they got back. There's just this huge forest, and they said, like, there it is. And such a great shot with such a sense of the scale of this forest. And really, really went wrong after that, though.
Basically, Ronnie Barker ruined it for you, is what you're saying.
Ronnie Barker did his job, didn't he? I was really pleased Ronnie Barker was in it.
Can I ask a stupid question? When Please. They're on Crusade, the king is Richard.
Yeah.
But isn't John king?
John is Richard's brother.
Yeah.
And therefore inherits the throne on Richard's death. I think that's it.
Is King John not the king in all the early stories?
No, he's always Prince John.
Is he Prince John in the early stories?
Right. I see. So at least in I don't know about that. Again, I'm forgetting about the medieval poems. In like the film from the 30s, and I think in some books and stuff, he's Prince John, and he's sort of the regent while King Richard is on crusade. And at a certain point, he declares Richard dead and crowns himself as king. And then King Richard actually returns and deposes him.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Don't remember the Disney film?
I actually don't remember the Disney film.
Oh, we've got to watch the Disney film.
I have seen it at some point, but it's been a while. I remember the turtle was funny.
Yeah.
Obviously, my main reference for this is Errol Flynn, 1938.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Which is an absolute classic. It's just one of my all-time favourite films. I love it.
Would you say that was better or worse than his performance in that film about the bounty?
Oh, dear. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, you can hardly believe it's the same actor.
No, I cannot believe it is the same actor.
I remember the bounty.
Tell us the story of the bounty.
What days, what nights, my lads. Oh dear, that was
great. We should watch that again.
Every time we watch a film, I think at least we're not watching that one. Like, if we watch a bad film, it doesn't get much worse than In the Wake of the Bounty, or of course Southland Tales,
or Holy Motors.
I'd rather watch Holy Motors than either of those, I think.
I'm not sure I would.
Wasn't great though.
Have you seen Robin Hood: Prince of Thieves, starring Kevin Costner and Alan Rickman?
Yeah, and Morgan Freeman.
And Morgan Freeman and Christian Slater.
Which one of them?
I think I have, and it was shit, right?
Oh,
or was it okay?
No, yeah, it's shit, but in a good way.
Okay. I remember it had a bit of a Count of Monte Cristo about it.
I liked Count of Monte Cristo, though.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a big balloon.
I don't remember that.
It did.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked the balloon.
It had Richard Harris. We can't get enough of Richard Harris.
We can't. No, we've watched a lot of Richard Harris films now, haven't we?
You take me as an equal. You always did. I'll carve you yet, you peasant bastard. Now carry it! My sword! But I'm still King of England! Richard!
Richard.
we should rank anyway. His performances.
Oh yeah, big Richard Harris ranking.
I reckon this might be the best.
A few more of his works. I don't.
No, but I think he was best in Count of Monte Cristo, actually.
He was pretty good in that. Happy. No, his Cromwell was unforgettable.
Oh, I mean, in terms of how bombastic his performances have been, yeah. That's at the top.
In terms of how much it stuck with me and how much emotion he managed to communicate in such a short time, Cromwell did a lot for me.
I told you this before, but I think about Cromwell possibly every day.
I remember you saying that. I think about it, yeah, more often than I probably should. Certainly every month. Yeah, I love that film.
I think I've quoted it to some work colleagues before, being like, ah, Cromwell, right? They'd be like, what are you talking about? It's
almost forgotten film that came out 50 years ago and wasn't very good. Anyway, are we off topic?
Yeah.
Robin and Marion. So let's talk about Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, lovely.
La femme de ma vie.
She was great. Yeah. Go on, Claire, sorry.
Yeah, no, I would say she was the nearest thing this film had to a saving grace.
Yeah.
Was just looking at her, really.
Yes. She's that much older in this, isn't she?
Mm.
We're thinking it, well, especially if we go back to like Breakfast at Tiffany's, that was maybe 20 years earlier. So she must be well into her 40s here.
Dead old.
But still quite beautiful and also just, yeah, great actor. She had so little to work with and yet she did so much with it. She sort of communicated. She had such a terrible script, basically.
Yes.
Well, just what was this scene? Every scene with the two of them together, I thought, like, what are they actually trying to tell us here? But she did play this sort of dreamy, hopelessly in love woman. And yeah, I thought she just did it great.
Just I liked how she fought with him at the Sean start. Connery. Yeah. You know how she was like trying to sacrifice herself. I thought that was interesting.
That was good, wasn't it? Stupid, like she had so little to live for.
Interesting.
They'll be here for me soon. You're in no danger from the sheriff. You're free to carry on.
With a horseman.
No services, of course, but you must help all those who come as best you can.
In King John's name, I charge you. Yield.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, sort of protest that she was doing, but it seemed to sort of measure up with how she kind of didn't care anymore if she couldn't be with Robin. Yeah, it's good. I can't believe he just knocked her out, just hit her in the face. Knocked her out, choked her on a horse and rode off. And the worst he got later was like, well, this wasn't exactly my plan to do this, you know.
Those were the days.
Just bizarre.
When men were proper gentlemen.
Yes.
Sometimes to save a woman, you've got to punch her smack in the face.
Knock her out in one punch. Terrible. But their chemistry was not great, was it?
No.
These sort of lovey-dovey scenes. I wasn't feeling it somehow that these two actually... I think it was maybe just Sean Connery's fault. I've got it written down here. Sean Connery plays it with so little tenderness. He just like sits down and chuckles and talks about fighting and stuff. Yeah,
he's not a subtle man, is he?
No, I guess not.
Well.
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't enjoy The Hunt for Red October, but I think he has a little bit more subtlety in there.
Okay. He's good in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
He should do more comedies.
Yeah,
in the past when he was alive.
Yeah, but he managed to, and maybe it's just the direction or something. But he managed to be a character you care about.
Mm.
What did you say there?
Did you say when he was alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died a few years ago.
Did he? did he?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'd forgotten that. Oh, that was sad.
Was he not a COVID? Did he die during COVID? Oh. Not of COVID, but I can't remember.
2020, yeah, during COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, bless his cotton socks.
Very sad day.
So sorry to speak ill of the dead, but yeah, I didn't think... He doesn't do great, does he?
I thought he was good. He was compelling. I mean, yeah, sure, I didn't really buy that he was... That there was any real... I don't know why it was called Robin and Marion. Because it didn't wasn't really about them.
Yeah.
We got Robin and Robert Shaw.
Yeah, okay.
They had more chemistry.
Are we going to do it?
What are we doing?
Are we going to talk about how they were really in love and the whole thing was just them wanting to have sex?
I see. You know, I hadn't thought about that, but now that you see it,
Robin, did you not thought about that?
I hadn't thought
about that, she said, opening her notebook with six pages titled Homosexual Themes in Robin and Marion.
I will. No, once again, when you messaged to say I'm running late, the credits were just about to roll in mine.
Oh, but I know you've seen it before.
I didn't remember a thing. And do you know what? The one scene I remembered wasn't in it. So I don't know what I was thinking about.
Okay, interesting.
I remember the villagers setting the forest on fire.
Oh.
And I don't know what that's from. But I was sure Audrey Hepburn was there.
Film?
I don't know. I was absolutely sure that Sean Connery and Rob and Audrey Hepburn were like directing the villagers to go out and set the tents on fire. But that didn't happen. So I remember the end. That stuck in my mind for some reason.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a memorable last scene. Oh, well.
What do you think? Do you think, Fernando, what do you think they were in love?
Sorry, Marion and Robin?
No, the sheriff and Robin.
The sheriff and Robin? No. Or at least they got to the end.
They were obsessed with each other, weren't they?
Yeah.
Possibly not sexually.
Yeah, well, maybe in the same way that, say, Pope Leo's obsessed with God.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot to unpack here.
But wait, what made you think that maybe they had some feelings for each other?
Oh, really? I just thought that was what Laura was going to say. Because there were two men who were obsessed with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And were like trying to kill each other, but at the same time, kind of refusing to kill each other a bit. Had this sort of flirty little, oh, I'll fight you if you fight me, little thing going on. And how the sheriff not even spared his life when he could have just called his crossbowmen to shoot him down. He wanted to like take him on one on one. And they had this big, grunty, filthy fight at the end where they were shoving each other over and grabbing each other and stuff and penetrating each other.
Michael.
With swords. Swords. I'm sure I could like drop in clips for an old film where you say all of this exact same stuff about some other pair of characters.
Any action film with two men.
We definitely did this with Trevor Howard and Marlon Brando, right? You were convinced they were in love.
Yeah, one of the Bounty films had a gay romance. Yeah, well, you know what they say. Blood and semen, interchangeable.
Exactly, exactly.
It was a lot of blood.
Covered in blood by the end of it.
Compelling argument.
Yeah. That's probably all I have to say about that particular bit.
Yeah, I've said this already, but I liked it when the sheriff said, these pears are absolutely delicious.
Yes. That was a good way of communicating that, wasn't it? a lesser writer would have had him say, like, no, we'll wait till he comes to us. But he just, yeah, he delivered it very well. So
I don't have any more notes, apart from there was one point where Robin and Little John were stealing a wagon. And they both gave such cheeky little simpering grins to the wagon guy before they took his wagon. But it was a tiny fleeting moment, and I doubt you remember it unless you just watched it.
Yeah, I remember they quite playfully stole it. Didn't one of them go into the wagon and like creep up and sit next to him?
Yes, that was Little John. Yeah. And then Sean Connery just does this tilting little... It's funny.
Like you want a little drum roll to go. Ba-dum-tsh. Wow, that was good.
Curious, Fernando, whether you thought Audrey Hepburn suited the habit more than her natural hair, as you said with Black Narcissus.
Yes, I think I preferred looking at her with her costume rather than without it.
She did suit it. Women suit, none outfits.
Interesting.
I'm going to say it.
That's nice not having to worry about what you're going to wear each morning, isn't it?
The Steve Jobs approach.
Yeah. And men have it easy. If we want to look formal, we just put on the same thing every time. Just wear a black suit and a tie. So it'd be great if you could just wear your habit everywhere. We should mention the director of this was Richard Lester.
Who's Richard Lester?
He did the big campy 1973 Three Musketeers film.
Oh!
And he did the Beatles film Help.
Oh, no wonder it was funny.
Yeah, and there were moments of that where it really made sense. Moments of this sort of like a big fight scene with a bit of humour in it. But he really let himself down, I think. When you think about how much fun it could have been and how fun The Three Musketeers was, and just how much stuff was going on in all those fight scenes, how vibrant and fast it all was. And this was really plodding and slow, and that was kind of the point, but it could have been a lot more interesting.
I will say I did find it that it dragged.
Yeah.
Mostly, I didn't find it dragged until they went to rescue the nuns from Nottingham. And then it just... Well, I enjoyed their escape. Their slow...
That was like a third of the way in, wasn't
slow
it?
Slow climb up that wall. Well, Robert Shaw looks on in sort of amused sort of pity almost, of being like, oh, these idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst.
I kind of thought, well, that's kind of funny, and they've made something of that, that they're getting old and they can't get away fast anymore, and that
that's just murder. Just
a bit desperate. Yeah. But it went on forever, and every fight and every action scene was like that for the rest of the film, and it was pretty tedious. They could have done that once and then, yeah, made a joke of it and then got on with it. Like, it's called Johnny English Reborn, the third Johnny English film where he's like much older now, and they do a thing where the baddie's chasing him and like does a backflip over a razor wire fence, and Johnny English just walks along and opens the door. And they make a point about him being old and slow, and it's funny. But this is not the same. Go on.
The big armor, head gear, the sort of diver's suit.
It's not a very good costume or outfit or whatever to go around a forest in, is it?
No, I was thinking that. That's got to obstruct your vision.
Yeah, not great for moving around quickly.
I've got a bit of a rant to go on.
You've got a rant?
Yeah.
Great. I want to play some games, so do you want to do your rant before or after?
I guess I'll go before.
Great.
This rant is entitled, What the Hell is Wrong with 73% of Critics? I'm looking on Rotten Tomatoes now. 73% of critics gave this a positive review. And here's the consensus. Robin and Marion gives the legendary characters a somber send-off. Finding ample success in the romantic chemistry between Sean Connery and Audrey Hepburn. Were they watching the same thing I was? Do I not know what romantic chemistry is?
Would you like me to answer that?
It was Don't answer. Jay Cox from Time magazine says, Robin and Marion is a film that must stand or fall on the strength of its stars. Fortunately, it has two of the best. Sean Connery is one of the two best stars.
You don't know that they were talking about those two.
Yeah, mate.
Richard Harris and Ian Holmes.
It was Ian Holmes.
Lester penetrates through the gauze of fantasy to find the human heart and softly finds it beating. What film did he watch? Richard Lester directed Robin and Marion, his finest film yet in many respects.
When was this made?
This says 2023.
No, when was the film made?
76.
Oh, okay, so it was after Help.
Yeah. What is he thinking?
He's wrong.
Well, the world would be a boring place if we all thought the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. But it just generally, I found Rotten Tomatoes to be a pretty good, like, yardstick of whether I'm going to enjoy a film. And it's really let me down with this film and Holy Motors. just don't know what they're on about with these.
Oh, God. I hope I'm not influencing you. My Philistine tendencies are.
Oh, well, it's possible, isn't it? I hope I've maybe dragged you with me a little bit. We'll even each other out and be one reasonable person.
Who would you play in the film?
Well, there's only one woman to cast both of us.
There's no need to stay as in traditional gender roles.
You could be nun number one or nun number two.
Actually, now that you say that, I would like to be the nun where the guy's like, no need to be cooped up inside, you walk around. And the nun's like, I don't know what he means.
Don't remember that.
It's a very small
That was very Richard Lester, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But the I grumpy, didn't quite get what was going on.
Grumpy nun, for no reason, adds nothing to the plot, dialogue, anything. Just a nun going, I don't know what he means. To a random guard.
Yep.
I'll be that nun.
Excellent.
Great. I think I'm Sean Connery. I very much identified with him. Sort of wanting to be greater than I am and just feeling that I don't quite know what I'm doing a lot of the time and I'm just doing my best, but ultimately a lot of what I'm doing is going a bit wrong.
So it's clear, Maid Marian or Little John?
I'd like her to be Maid Marian. No, I saw a bit of Claire in that character, but again, the character was so all over the place that maybe I'd have seen anyone in it.
Mm. As long as that's not what you saw of me in it.
No.
Being all over the place.
No. No, she was very sweet and practical.
Mm. Mm. She sounds great fun.
A good, solid prioress. That's you.
Reliable prioress.
Yes.
Fernando is the sheriff, obviously.
Brilliant, yeah.
I was going to say whether I was the sheriff, so thank you, yes.
Yeah, I saw something just wistful in the sheriff.
Oh.
He liked pears. I like pears.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking as well, obviously. Your mutual love of pears.
Not necessarily all pears, just those pears.
Mm.
Hmm.
That's true.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
How does it connect to the last film?
What was the last film again? Was it Holy Motors?
Riders of Justice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, easy peasy.
Yeah.
And yet I can't actually phrase it. Yeah, sort of band of brothers all taking on someone they see as an enemy.
Yep.
That'll do it.
Brilliant. Phew. Sometimes it's an easy one.
No need to overthink it.
Yeah.
We've not done symbolism.
Yeah, there probably was some.
We did gay symbolism.
Yeah. We haven't done, is it the afterlife?
Oh, yeah.
No, because they die at the end.
Yeah, true. Maybe that was them leaving purgatory.
Yeah, I mean, purgatory is not bad. Coming back and everything's changed a little bit and there's people you knew from before, but they're not quite who you remember them being.
Yeah.
You have to finally defeat your enemy.
Yeah.
To be able to move on. Yeah.
Sort of unfinished business was what he was doing there. And then, as soon as he finished his unfinished business, his girlfriend murdered him. Which is a sort of closure.
We follow the arrow into the sky.
Yeah,
it never lands. Didn't we? Maybe he died. Maybe Richard did kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that last bit was just an imaginary thing with Marion choosing to go with him.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be why the sheriff, his mortal enemy, didn't really give a shit.
Yeah,
he just wanted him to care.
Oh, that's nice.
She's like Beatrice coming from
paradise to lead him from purgatory.
Yeah.
Who's Beatrice?
Oh, the love interest in Dante's Inferno. Dante's okay. Divine Comedy.
I didn't know it had a love interest. That's good.
Yeah, that's where he wants to get to paradise to see.
Mm. Cool.
Cool.
The person who actually guides him through paradise.
Yes. Yeah, she guides him through paradise. Virgil guides him up until then, doesn't he?
Hmm.
Any last thoughts?
None from me.
No. Hopefully I'll forget it.
Yeah.
Very soon. There we go.
Three, two, one.
Scissors.
What?
What do you got for us, Fernando?
Well, let me just open my list on Google Keep to see which films I have on my list.
Excellent. Open it up and pick just any film at all that's not a 12-hour documentary about the Holocaust.
I do have many of those. What about we watch Minari, M-I-N-A-R-I, which to me is available on Prime Video.
Brilliant.
Minari 2020.
Can't wait.